Now, everybody has thoughts on how to build a better New Zealand right now. And Simon Wilson, who is a senior writer for the New Zealand Herald, has been sifting through some of the best ideas. Hi there, Simon.
Hi there, Jesse. How are you?
Yeah, good. Nice to talk to you. Although there's a lot of sort of horror out there, and it's been a pretty weird and distressing time for a lot of people, you do have moments, don't you, where you get a little wind underneath your wings, a little bit of inspiration, you think this could be kind of exciting for New Zealand.
Well, I think the big response to that is that we're going to spend billions upon billions of dollars in the next few years on a recovery, on a rebuild. After the recovery, we're going to rebuild the country. And that's really going to be all the money that gets spent for quite a long time. So the question of how we spend it's really important. And all those, there are a number of politicians who are going, look, we can't be thinking big. All we've got to do is just do the things that are right in front of us, get the recovery and the rebuild going, and just do the things that are easiest. That's a terrible way to look at it. That means we will lose the chance to make New Zealand better equipped for the future and do some really exciting things that we could do instead.
Right, because if your house burnt down, you wouldn't necessarily build the exact same house on the exact same spot, wouldn't you? You would take the insurance money and use it to build the house of your dreams.
I like that analogy. And maybe the insurance company would come along and say, okay, you can't build the house of your dreams, but you would still say, actually, I'm not going to build the house with that bad insulation it used to have. And I'm going to build it so that it doesn't face north anymore. I'm going to make sure we use the sun properly. And, you know, all the things you would do if you were building yourself a better house and have a chance.
So there are a few ideas out there. I think you've got about a list of 15. Has this appeared in the Herald yet, or is it still coming?
No, I'm still working on this. So we're talking to you first.
Great.
A week.
Yeah, we should put a paywall up. So tell me, I think you've had a look at about sort of 10 or 15, but what are some of the most interesting?
Well, one of them, which is outside an area that I normally write and talk about, is that it's been suggested in a number of places around the world that one of the big global business lessons is that businesses have to take this chance to digitize. In other words, to use cloud-based computing. And what that really means is that, especially for small, large businesses are doing it already, but small and medium-sized businesses, to have the resources that they need in terms of their inventory, in terms of their supply lines and their customer base and all those sorts of things, to have them at their fingertips in a machine they've got in their back pocket, you know, their phone, so that those businesses can react immediately to opportunities that arise. There's a customer who wants this, we'll work out how to do it right now, and it's easy. It's suggested that's the way in which New Zealand could increase its productivity, because, you know, although we like to think we're pretty efficient in this country, New Zealand productivity hasn't really changed for 25 years. And it's not going to change just by people talking about it. It's only going to change when we find new and smarter ways to work in businesses. And cloud-based computing offers that opportunity.
Is that just something that each business would be in charge of, or are you suggesting there might be some sort of centralised push on this?
It actually isn't. In the budget, there was $10 million set aside for e-commerce and another $12.5 million for trans-Tasman e-invoicing. Those are little drops in the bucket. It isn't that the government needs to pay for everybody to develop their cloud-based computing. That's not it at all. The government needs to make sure the regulatory framework is right and provide the initiative, if you like, to provide the incentives to do it. But, companies are going to be able to make money out of doing this, so it's not just a handout, but it's a way of thinking, and it's a way of government going, okay, how can we help? How can we make this happen?
Okay, earlier in the show today, we talked to Mike Joy in response to the government's new rules around fresh water quality. And is this an opportunity to rethink the way we do agriculture in New Zealand?
Oh, I think it is. You know, there's a phrase that I still reel from, which is regen ag. And it means regenerative agriculture. It means that if we get a lot smarter, in the way that many, many farmers around the country are already doing, right across the farming sector, If we get a lot smarter about how we nourish the soil as we farm, we will increase productivity on the farms. We will have much less pollution, atmospheric as well as in the soil and the water. And we will become a country that can produce high-quality food for the rest of the world, farm sustainably in a way that the rest of the world will accept and pay for. So the Greenpeace has proposed a $1 billion fund to kickstart it, to really ramp it up. And I think that's the way we need to be looking at this.
You're interested in green power, green technology, and in particular green energy. Why is that such an interesting one?
Well, I think, one of the... If you think about Texas for a moment, everybody knows Texas produces a lot of oil. It's actually more renewable energy produced out of Texas now than there is oil. Now, so even though the American president isn't keen on the alternative renewable energy and that whole sector, it's happening anyway. And if it's happening in Texas, you would think it should be really seriously happening in a place like New Zealand. But unfortunately, we don't really have the kind of super-powered wind farm activity that you'd think we should have. We've got a lot of sunshine and we don't use it well enough yet. And of course, we've got the potential for tidal energy as well. So I think in all those areas, we really need to be saying, okay, let's take this opportunity to get properly serious about renewable energy. Let's get ourselves to 100%, because we've been sliding back a bit from that goal. Let's position ourselves superbly for the future and create a strong new energy base that will sustain growing industry. And that links to another big potential operation that we could develop here, and that is high-tech, green high-tech industries. Green industries, computing, all of those things that have potential. And, if we're smart about it, we could get the companies to pay for the energy development as well.
Yeah, it's funny because we tend to think of green energy as a bit of a worthy thing. We're trying to do the right thing for the world, which is a good enough reason. But there might be selfish reasons for New Zealand to become a leader in renewable energy.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. Selfish in terms of, the world's going to be looking favourably on countries that produce renewable energy and products and services that are produced using it. But also in terms of our own ability to cope with the future droughts and floods and all the climate crises that we know are coming towards us. And if you think about Auckland or the whole upper North Island at the moment, in terms of the drought, we don't make it easy for people to collect rainfall off their roof. And the reason for that is that the way in which it's structured, WaterCare in Auckland sells water to customers, residents and commercial customers, and it's not in WaterCare's interest to have us all collecting rainwater off our use to use in our toilets and grey water, in the garden and so on. So we need to change that. We need to change the regulatory framework for that, and we then need to allow people to have their tanks, collect the water. And that's a really radically different way of looking at how we look after ourselves. And it can be done in communities too, so you share that the results of that. And it's true for rainwater. It's also true for electricity. There are lots of parts of the world now where solar panels on the roof and the ability to share the power that you get from solar panels on the roof means a village can look after itself, and when it's got a lot of sunshine, can sell power into the national grid too. It's not easy to do that in this country, but why not? The reason is the power companies make their money from selling us power, and we've got to be able to change that framework. So the way we look at those things will determine a lot of how well we do in the future, and all of those things mean lots of jobs, lots and lots and lots of jobs.
So is there much interest from the government, central or local, in thinking big, small thinking big, not capital letters?
It's really hard to work out. I mean, certainly the Minister for Infrastructure, Shane Jones, has gone on record saying that people are dreaming if they think there's going to be a green future in the rebuild that we do. There just isn't the resources to do it. Now, that's just nuts. It's just crazy thinking. Yeah, and it's terribly unfortunate that he has that portfolio and is able to kind of, I don't know if he's going rogue on the whole government, but certainly go rogue on the aspirations of building a greener future. Yeah, it means that cities and countryside are not going to be developed the way they might be. And I hope that's not true. I really do. But we'll have an election in a few months and all the parties are going to have to declare themselves on these issues because, you know, we're committed to holding our emissions down, and we're only doing it in the next 10 years or it's going to be, there's a real chance it'll be out of control.
I should just mention, by the way, we've talked about central government a little, but Phil Goff is keen on this grey water idea, is he? The Mayor of Auckland.
Yes, great. Yep, good on him for that. He is keen on that. And because he is, maybe something will happen out of it. That's, you know, really exciting. But, you know, when you're talking about cities, green buildings, there are no regulations around green buildings, but the emissions that are lost because of the poor state of quality of green infrastructure in terms of just how the buildings are built and are retrofitted, so we don't have enough passive energy, passive heating and ventilation, those sorts of things. There's so much that could be done there. And then on top of all that, you remember that before COVID, we were talking about rapid transit for Auckland. We were talking about moving freight onto rail and as a consequence of that, making rail electric and moving the Auckland port as well. Those big projects, all of which should have strong futures, strong roles in our future, and will employ a lot of people, they're just suddenly not being talked about. And I think that's a tragedy.
Simon Wilson, I appreciate your thoughts. And drop me a note when your article goes up and I'll let people know they can read it.
That would be great. Thanks, Jesse.
Senior writer for the Herald, Simon Wilson, solving the world's problems today.